Good. Right. Now, I need a volunteer. Not doing very well with volunteers. Let's try it another way. I need a volunteer. Still no volunteers. A little volunteer, a small volunteer. Is nobody going to volunteer? No. Frank. That's great. On this occasion, I can't use you, I'm afraid, brother.
Oh.
And it'll become obvious. Well, I will give you a sweetie afterwards. Yeah. Somebody is going to come and be my volunteer and help me with these sweets. These very tasty sweets. Ella? No. Oh, dear, what's wrong with everyone today? Isabel? No. This is terrible. Ah, James? Oh, Callum, excellent. Right. That's brilliant. Thank you. Now, okay. What I'd like you to do is to put your hand in there. Can you put your hand in there? Oh, no. Oh, dear, that's a bit difficult, isn't it? You can't. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do then. Now hold your hands out, and I will do it this way. See how many of these I can fit into there. And you can, don't know what your mum's going to think about this, but you can have all those sweeties. Isn't that amazing? You can have all those sweeties. Isn't that a lovely thing? Oh, not that one, because it's fallen on the floor. So, hold on, but I've got a bag for them in a minute. But oh, there goes another one. Hold on tight. Now you can have those sweeties, or you can have this. I'll give you a choice. Those sweeties, this lollipop. Right? What do you think? You want the lollipop? Okay. Despite the fact that you've got all those sweeties there and just this one lollipop, you're going to go for the lollipop. Okay. What are you going to do with the sweeties then? Because you see, you can't take the lollipop and the sweeties. So what's going to happen to the sweeties? You're going to eat them. Ah, but no. You've got a choice, okay? In order to get the lollipop, you have to reach out and take it. And you can't do it with all those sweeties in your hand. So you've got a choice. Is it going to be the sweeties or the lollipop? You're going to go for the sweets. What if I say to you, Callum, I promise you that the lollipop is better. Going to go for the lollipop. Okay? So should we put the sweets back in the jar and you can have the lollipop? You sure?
Yep.
That's your choice? Okay. Let's pop them back in there. There we go. Don't worry about the ones that are on the floor. Okay. There's the lollipop. Now, I know you won't eat it now, but do you just want to show everyone what flavour it is inside? Ooh. It's interesting, isn't it? What's that? Let's see what that is. What do you think it is? It's so well stuck on now. Can you see what that is? Look at that. Was that a good choice? It was an excellent choice. There you go. Thank you very much. You know, it really is worth volunteering sometimes. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, when we think about tax collectors, of course, we mustn't think of people who work in the tax office because, you know, nobody likes paying taxes, do they? None of us like paying taxes. But most of us, if we're reasonable people, will agree that taxes are necessary if we're going to have schools and hospitals and things like that. We need to pay taxes. It's what we give to the government to make those things happen. And most of us, if we're reasonable, will understand it's important to pay taxes. We can argue about the level of those taxes, but most of us understand that. But it wasn't like that in Jesus' day, because the tax collectors, the thing was, in Jesus' day, the people of Israel were ruled over. You know who they were ruled over by, don't you? Yeah, the Romans. The Romans. And they hadn't been voted in. They'd just come in and told the Jewish people what to do and told the Jewish people how much tax they had to give. And so, of course, the Jewish people resented paying tax because it all went off to Rome and they didn't see much of it. And that was that. But what's more, the Roman people, the Romans, in order to get the tax, they got local people, local Jews, to gather the tax. So imagine how unpopular that was amongst the Jewish people. And imagine how unpopular it made those people who gathered the tax. Now, in order to make it something that people would want to do, they basically allowed these tax collectors to cheat, to gather much, much more than Rome needed so they could keep lots for themselves and send the rest off to Rome. And so that made the people hate these tax collectors. They thought of them as not only traitors because they were working for the Romans, but cheats because they were taking more money for themselves. But what's more, Zacchaeus, we read in that passage, was a chief tax collector. It meant he was very good at his job for a start if he was chief tax collector. And it meant probably that he took an even bigger cut when all the tax collectors came along and gave him the money than he took a little bit of everything before sending it on to Rome. And so people would really not have liked Zacchaeus. He wouldn't have had many friends. He would have been kind of cut off from the people around him, from his neighbors, even his family maybe. Not many people would ask him out for a meal, and not many people would go round to his house. And that explains why people didn't like him. But doesn't that tell us something about Zacchaeus? If he was prepared to be a tax collector, even though it meant being cut off from all his families and friends, what does that tell him about us? To tell us about him? It tells us that he must have loved money very much, doesn't it? He must have been very greedy because he was prepared to be cut off from his community, his family and friends, in order to be rich. He was prepared to do that. But then one day, Jesus came to town. And Zacchaeus has obviously heard enough about Jesus to be interested. So he comes along and he tries to see from a distance. And he can't see because he's so little. So he climbs the tree. But you know, he wanted to find out more about Jesus. And I think that tells us something else about Zacchaeus. It tells us, I think, that actually he was thirsty for something in his life. He was very rich. He'd got all this money by cheating people. But it didn't satisfy him. And there was something about Jesus that he felt, yes, that's what I'm lacking. That's what I need. And so he climbed up the tree so he could see him. And Jesus came. Oh, hold on. Climbed up the tree. Picture of that somewhere. All the gardeners will recognize the tree, of course. That is a sycamore tree. And there he is up the tree, so he could see Jesus. But Jesus came along, and amazingly, Jesus stopped and looked up. And he saw Zacchaeus, because he knew exactly where he was, and he knew exactly who he was. Because he calls him by name. He doesn't just say, little man up there, come down. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. He knows Zacchaeus. He knows him by name. And it's remarkable, actually, that Zacchaeus responds. Zacchaeus comes down the tree. He's been on the fringe of things at a distance, trying to look from a distance. But he comes down the tree, and it's as if he's thinking, well, if he knows my name, what's the point in hiding? This man knows who I am. He knows what I'm like. No point in hiding. I'll go and meet him. Why bother to stay on the fringe if Jesus knows all about me anyway? And the people around, they weren't very impressed at all. They began to mutter. They began to grumble. Who? This man's a sinner. He's a cheat. And yet Jesus is asking to come to go to his house for a meal. That's terrible. But look what happens next. This is what we read. This is the NIV version, the version in the church Bibles, which is different to the version that Kate read. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, half of all I have to the poor. Imagine doing that. Half of all you have to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Is this remarkable? Here is this greedy grabber, and he's transformed to become a giver. He's transformed from grabber to giver. This man, who is so greedy that he'd rather be rich and yet have no friends, suddenly he begins to see things in a new light, and he wants to be a help to people. He begins to discover, because Jesus is now his friend, he's discovered far more riches than he was ever have gathered in his life through tax collecting. And that enables him to want to pass on things to other people. He's able to let go of his wealth. He's able to say, right, what I've got in my hands here, I'm going to let it go because there's something better. And of course, the something better wasn't even a £5 note, because that's only money as well, isn't it? The something better was Jesus. You know what was supposed to happen in the first bit, don't you? Somebody with a smaller hand than Callum's was supposed to put their hand in the jar and grab a handful of sweets, but then they wouldn't have been able to get it out, their hand out. And that's the way it is, isn't it? If we really want life, if we want what Jesus has to offer us, you know, we spend all our lives trying to grab as much as we can. And there's Jesus over there saying, I want to give you all my riches, but we have to let go of those things that we're holding on to. And the thing is, when we know Jesus, we're prepared to let go of them, because he is so much better than all these riches. However rich we may be, however rich we may dream of being, those riches will never satisfy us the way Jesus does. You know, we live in a very rich country, and we live in a very rich part of a rich country. I know a man who used to be pastor of a church down here. He's just moved up to the northeast to a place called Stockton, Teesdale. And we happened to come across him the other day, and he said, you don't realize when you're living in Reading that Reading is boomtown. Reading is prosperous. Reading is rich. And where he'd just gone up to Stockton, totally different place. And we forget that. And if you were to go with Frank and Hattie to Gambia, we'd think Stockton was rich. And that's the way it is, isn't it? We forget how rich we are. But however rich we are, those things are nothing compared to the joy of knowing Jesus. And we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to remind ourselves. Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So that's the question, isn't it? What are you running after in life? What are you holding on to? And are you prepared to let it go in order to have Jesus? Look what Jesus said to him. He said, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too was a son of Abraham. Now, do you remember, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I want to come to your house. And then later on he says, today salvation has come to this house. What he's telling us is this is what salvation looks like, being friends with Jesus, having Jesus in our homes, in our lives. This is salvation. Being friends with Jesus, spending time with him, listening to him, making much of him, knowing him, him knowing us and us knowing his friendship, knowing his love, sharing a meal with him. We're going to be doing that in a moment, aren't we? Communion. You know, we think of communion as remembering the Lord's death, which of course it is, but it's much richer than that. It's about sharing a meal with Jesus, eating and drinking in the presence of the Lord. And it's so a rich picture of our life with Jesus, that he wants to provide for us. He gives us his life so that we can grow and develop and live like we are created to live. And Jesus comes. Do you know this? This is the thing. In Jesus, God has come to our house, hasn't he? Because in Jesus, God has come as one of us. He's come right down to where we are, to where we live. God has come to our house. And the question is, do we open the door? Or do we just stay inside and pretend not to hear him knocking? He's come to our house. How exciting is that? Jesus goes on to say, famous words at the end of this little episode, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. You know, Zacchaeus was lost. He was an outcast from his society. He was rich, but he didn't have much life, really, because knowing and being known is what life's all about, and he'd kind of cut himself off from all of that. But Zacchaeus isn't the only one that's lost. We're all lost. We're all lost because we've chosen our own way instead of God's, because of our greed, because of our pride. And those things damage our friendships around us too. And we try to make up for not being friends with God with all kinds of things, by money and our careers, great holidays, whatever it might be. But nothing makes up for that. We are lost and we need saving. It's what the Bible tells us. And Jesus comes to bring salvation. Today, salvation has come to this house. That's an amazing thing. And you know, whatever tree we may be hiding up, looking from a distance, Jesus knows. He knows your name. He knows your tree. And he says to you, come down. I must come to your house today. How are you going to respond? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lovely story. Thank you that you come for people whom other people may look down on and despise. And you, Lord, we all know how that feels. Father, thank you that Jesus comes right to our house and brings us salvation. I pray that everyone here will be able to respond warmly. And maybe as we take communion, we'll have a chance. There'll be a chance of responding. Do we want Jesus and all that he has, or would we rather hold on to our riches as we see them? Help us, Lord, to choose right. And help us to look to you for all that we need, for the joy of living as friends of Jesus. And there is no better thing. Thank you, Lord.